Looking to get out of the house for the cold weather? We'll try out Agogi Combatives. Agogi Combatives is going to be the premier destination to learn mixed martial arts here in the Tennessee Valley and Georgia, and really all across the country at this point, as we've had some serious success stories come out of Agogi Combatives. Trevor Peak got himself a UFC contract at Dana White's Contender Series not that long ago. Torres Finney, as you heard in the last podcast, knocking on the door, and there's so much other great talent at Agogi Combatives. As you're going to be learning from the best athletes and coaches in the region. If you want to head over to their website, see the full suite of classes, you can do so at agogicombatives.com. One more time, that's going to be agogicombatives.com.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
Suspect.
This is how I win.
Right. We are back here on the Watch It podcast after, well, beforehand of what is going to be one of the most eventful sports weekends in recent memory, honestly. A lot of things happening, everything from a UFC fight night, the World Series between the Astros and the Dodgers, the Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies, which in my estimation, that series is probably about to come to an end, probably on Friday, if I was a betting man, which sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. But of course, we have Tennessee and Georgia, and joining us is a incredible Watch It podcast alum who hasn't been on in 50 episodes. 50 episodes. That was the last time you were on. And of course, that is going to be Vol for life now. James Healy, man. What's going on?
Big Vols guy now. Huge Vols guy.
Why? How'd that happen?
Long story, really. Well, not that long a story. I had a neighbor, Cody. Shout out, Cody. And he's a huge Vols fan. And he's been trying to get me to support them for going on 5 years now. And I've been rebuffing his attempts for 4 years because they've been rubbish. And now they're half good, I thought.
Oh, so you're jumping on the bandwagon.
I'm a glory supporter, mate. I'm definitely a glory supporter. But now a big Vols guy, so.
I can't believe that, man, because I had such faith in that you were going to be a Georgia Bulldogs supporter.
Well, why would I be? I live in Tennessee. I should support where I'm
You
living.
Live on the border of Tennessee.
That's true, actually. Well, but my loyalties lie.
Oh, my God. Look, if you were a glory chaser, you would have jumped on last year. The defending national champions now.
What are you talking about? Georgia?
Georgia. They won the national championship last year.
I have no.
Oh, my God. Look, man, I know
you've... affinity to Georgia.
We'll touch on that a little bit more. I know you've been a busy guy the past week and a half, really.
Yeah.
With Unknown, man.
Fantastic,
doing a big
mate.
Event.
Had a great time. I think the guests had a great time as well. We did Stranger Things, like, pop-up style bar, Unknown. It was fantastic. 80s music all week. We had themed cocktails as well. Yeah, it was awesome.
What was your favorite of the themed ones? I only had two.
Oh, what did you have?
I had the Hannibal Nectar.
Yeah.
And I had it was like the tiki one. It was like a tiki drink. It had like coconut rum or something in it. Or like something like pineapple skin rum. It was like a skin rum. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was good.
I honestly can't even remember what we called that. Rum for the Hills?
Yes. That's what Haley got.
That was good. Jacob came up with an awesome cocktail. I'm blanking on the name now.
Oh, for real?
I'm blanking on the
Was
name.
It the Nightmare on Cherry Street?
It was the
that
Mind
one
Flayer.
Looked good.
It was a Mind Flayer.
Oh.
Nightmare on Cherry Street is actually one of mine, but that's actually gone off the menu. The Mind Flayer was awesome, really fantastic. But we had all of it was really good, mate. It was depending on what your tastes were. We always put something out for everybody. So we had a couple of tequila ones, a couple of rum cocktails, a couple of whiskey, a vodka cocktail with it upside down. Did you see the upside down airplane bottle?
We went on Monday, and it was pretty busy.
They
I texted
like,
you, man.
They sold like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Now, you can say that now on this podcast, actually.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. No, we went there on Monday. It was the last day of it. Haley's birthday was over the weekend, so we were busy doing stuff. But we went, and we were like, all right, I know it's Halloween. It might slow down a little bit. That was not the case whatsoever.
Well, we got caught a little bit like that because we thought Friday, Saturday, Sunday, everybody came out, right? We saw everybody and the dog. And we thought Monday night, maybe people will be staying in because they've already blown all the money or whatever. So we didn't honestly think Monday would be that busy, but it was awesome. I mean, it was a great weekend. We gave the staff off Tuesday so they could rest up, recuperate. We went to Las Mas. Shout out Las Mas. Classic. I'll make some pack there. Treated the staff to some tacos and some big old margaritas.
Yeah, those are some good ones.
I had a 34-ounce beer. I had a couple of them, actually. Don't truth be told.
What kind?
Naughty.
What kind of 32-ounce beer? Oh, Pacifico?
Yeah, it was Pacifico, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you could have had whatever you want.
Man, we've been watching this. I swear to God, this ties in. We've been watching Bachelor in Paradise, and you watch that program?
No, but I've got a story about that.
Well, we've been watching it, and a guy got in trouble with his, like, girl that he's picked out. It's like Bachelor in Paradise, the concept of it. It's like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, but it's all the people from the previous seasons are out on the beach.
It's Love Island.
Yeah, it's essentially Love Island, but it's a little more like... There's less rules. You know, with Love Island, I feel like they're constantly throwing shit at you.
I've not watched either, to be honest, mate, but I know what you're talking about.
I watched the season that Tommy Fury was on. Didn't watch the other one. But anyway, on Bachelor in Paradise, this guy gets in trouble. This dude, Aaron, he gets in trouble with Genevieve because he keeps hanging out with the boys. That's all he wants to do. And Genevieve's trying to tell Aaron that she loves him. And they just want that alone time. But Aaron, he's too busy. And they finally get that moment together where they're sitting at the beach and everyone's starting to leave. And he looks over at his boy and he looks at him and goes, Sifico's in pool.
Yeah, dude. Let the man live.
I know. That's, I mean, he didn't handle it very well.
So The Bachelor in Paradise. But that's, I thought there was one bloke in The Bachelor. Right?
Well, okay. So, yeah, there is. And then there's one girl. Well, in the past season,
loads
ago,
I thought he chose from like 30 women.
Well, okay, so The Bachelor is one guy and like 30 women. The Bachelorette is the inverse
remix
of that. Yeah, exactly. But last season there were two.
That's The Bachelorette, though, no?
Yeah, but they're in the same universe. See, it's very complicated.
That is complex.
There's several entities, and Bachelor in Paradise brings them both together, where they're essentially like Love Island, where it's just like a free for all.
Ooh,
it's chaos. I highly, honestly, it's a great program.
I try to stay away from that, to be honest with you. I feel like...
Why?
I don't think it does my brain any good. I like to... Well, I don't know.
It's
I spend too
TV.
Much time on my phone as it is. I mean, I'm spending, with a business, I'm 6 hours on my phone a day.
Watching reels?
Well, it's easy to get trapped in that, but I've been trying to catch myself, honestly, recently. I've been... Yes, reels are... They're damaging.
Yeah? Well, you're 3 months behind on TikTok, so don't download the TikTok. Then you'll really be trapped
strong. I'm still holding strong. I still have to, when people send me a TikTok, open the link, the hypertext link.
I sent you one yesterday.
Yeah.
Look, I get it. You got a lot going on, man. You got Unknown. You have some other things you're working on, and
yes,
I don't know how you keep up with it, man.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how you keep up with that.
I got good people.
Yeah?
That's the key, I think. Got Chrissy Boy running Unknown. So
I want him on this podcast so bad.
If he gets out of bed early enough,
I know, that's the problem, man.
Yeah, well, he's a we either record, now, isn't he?
We either record really early or we record really late, and he's either sleeping or he's at work.
Tuesday, Wednesday, he's got off, and Monday night, actually. So he just likes to go, he hibernates. He has a couple of days hibernation, he comes out to the society.
Man, we came in on Monday, and we looked at Chris, and it was after the Henry Cavill news about The Witcher.
Oh, yeah.
Devastated. Devastated.
So what happened there, actually? So I didn't catch that. Did he just quit?
Well, okay. So it started as like he's just leaving the show and he's being replaced by fucking Luke Hemsworth, of all people.
Oh.
Kind of weird. And it's not Thor. It's Chris.
No.
And then the other brother who was in Westworld.
Miley's Liam.
Ex Liam. Tough.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. I guess, I think, I mean, he had a tough time with that, but they said he was leaving just because, like, he didn't have time, and this is on the back of, like, him being back as Superman, and all these rumors about him in House of the Dragon are starting to come out.
I want him as James Bond.
Yeah?
That's who
you want?
I think his audition movie was The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I thought was awesome.
So I've talked about it on this podcast a lot.
Amazing. And cancelled Army Hammer.
Yeah. Cannibal.
Eating people. That'll do it. But I thought The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was fantastic. I thought he was dapper. I thought he was hard enough. I thought there was moments of that kind of slapstick comedy lines that you used to in the old James Bonds.
So if you did a Henry Cavill James Bond, you would want it to be like the old school.
I think that's where
you
go.
So?
Well, Daniel Craig modernized it so much, which by the way, I loved. I think you... it would be fun to go back. And I think he would play into that. You know when he does that silly recharge of the arms thing? How cool would that be if he's James Bond?
The recharge of the arms?
He, like, slams the arm. He, like, slams the arms down like that. He's gonna he kind of recharges, and that's his signature thing. I think that'd be funny in a James Bond thing, like a crook running towards him and he just blasts him, you know.
Here, I'm reading this article and it says that they're looking for a younger James Bond.
Well, how old's Henry now?
I think he's like almost 40.
So the thing about him, he
looks younger.
He was the second choice after Daniel. It was down to him and Daniel Craig for the
what?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And
holy shit!
I read a story the other day, and I don't know. I didn't fact check it, to be honest with you, but
what was the name of this website?
Oh god, I don't think it was a website.
Bond
it
News
was an Instagram post.
Oh god!
But it seemed to make sense to me. But Pierce Brosnan apparently was number two, and I can't remember. For who? And he didn't get it. And then the next time the role came around, he did get it. So maybe he does. And honestly, he doesn't look 40, does he? He looks bloody good for 40.
I mean, I'm fact checking that now because I said that just sort of out of my ass, man. I don't know actually how old he is.
Oh, you didn't even?
I'm pretty sure he's about 40.
Kind of podcast we run in here.
No, I was right. He's 39. Wow. He is 39. So he's been around, man.
And well, Daniel Craig's what, 50?
54?
Yeah, he's old as dirt now.
I thought they were going to... I'm still not ruling it out. He apparently... Tom Holland tried to pitch a series of James Bond films to the...
No.
Pickle or Broccoli's. That's who owns the James Bond, the Broccoli family.
No.
You don't like Tom Holland?
I like him in the things he does. Is he James Bond? No.
You even like him as did you see Uncharted?
Funny enough, I actually rolled past that on Netflix the other day and I thought it was...
It's kind of like his audition to be James Bond.
It looked terrible. Like. It was Marky Mark playing a straight-faced Marky Mark, the same character since Boogie Nights. He's only ever done one film different, I think.
Look, okay. People hate on Marky Mark, man, but you remember The Departed? He was electric in that fucking movie.
The Departed's awesome. Have you seen, I don't know if it's the Chinese or the Japanese, have you seen the film that it's based
on? Internal Affairs, yeah. It's awesome. It's Korean.
Is it Korean?
It's so good. There's a whole trilogy of those movies, dude.
Yeah, fantastic. But yeah, no, you can't hate on Marky Mark. He does what he does, and he's hardworking as well. He's always in a couple of films a year, isn't he? He doesn't go on hiatuses for a couple of years. He's doing film after film.
He's a hard worker, man. And plus, he's got the burgers, Wahlburgers.
Wahlburgers.
I had one of those for the first time
in
Florida. Yeah.
Good?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Wow. It wasn't like at a Wahlburger establishment. Like, they sell them at a Publix. And my dad got them and like made them. It's like Wahlburger, ground Wahlburger.
Your dad bought a burger kit and it had a Wahlburger sticker on it.
Well, it's not a
it.
Burger kit. They don't tell you what to do. It's just a thing of ground beef.
Well, I mean, you a didn't have the full... Kit? I don't think you think... Well, I don't know. Yeah, you didn't have the full experience though, did you?
What's up? Yeah. Look, man, we don't all grill 5-course meat meals like Liver King in our backyard on a daily basis.
Kidney Prince.
That was an incredible spread. There was a couple weeks ago. Man, that was like 2 months ago, actually.
Yeah, quite a while ago.
Damn, I think that was the last time I saw you.
No.
Prior to today.
Because
I've been on the road.
Yeah, so you've been down in Key West.
Well, not just, I've been all over the Florida Keys. We went all the way from Key Largo to Key West. It was like the fucking Beach Boys song.
Yeah, you've been living it up.
Kokomo.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was fun, man.
Listening to some Steely Dan while you've been away.
No, a lot of Doobie Brothers, actually.
Nice.
And Michael McDonald.
I'm going to make you a playlist. Island Time playlist for you.
Okay, a little Yacht Rock action going on inside of it.
Yacht Rocks are the golf.
You're a big golf guy, I know.
Well, I'm not very good at it, but yeah.
I thought you were.
Well, some days I am, some days I'm not, yeah. That's the way it goes, unfortunately. It typically corresponds with how many beers I've had as well that day, so.
What is the golf course beer of choice? Is it Mick Ultra?
Oh, well, good. It depends who's buying. It depends.
What if you're buying?
If I'm buying, at Mocky Bend, there's only a limited choice.
Mocky Bend.
It's going to be, I'm going to go for a Miller Lite. And then normally we have a few Miller Lite on the front nine because you're just getting started. When we get around the turn, I like to change gears into a Bud Diesel. Bud Diesel. And the boys don't like it when I bring those out, but like it.
Bud Diesel. I haven't heard that one before. You're referencing a Budweiser, correct?
Bud Heavy, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Or Red Rocket.
Bud Diesel.
But it's good. But the boys don't like it. It's a little heavier, but I like it.
Who are the boys? How many? You got a golf group? A
couple of groups, actually.
Oh, wow, man. multiple friends and family.
Wow, it's something I think recently I've done in the last year and a half. I play with Zach, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as good as me. But and we're in it more for the fun. Zach. So we get a little, have a few beers. And then I've got another group we play on the weekend, Cody, Zach, Sam, shout out.
Is it the same Cody who turned you to the
Cody, yep. Ex neighbor Cody. We play. They're all probably better than me. So it's a different crowd. I've got to play up, I've got to try and play well. And they're a bit more serious about it.
Was that group that you were with when you were at Cherry that one night and I was on the patio at Unknown and I walked over? Was that who that was? No. Or that was just some random?
I can't remember. I can't.
It was like an older dude with a beard and glasses.
Well, this sounds very mysterious.
I don't remember this.
An older guy with...
We were out for a while, man. If glasses. You don't remember this, it's okay.
And a beard?
Yeah. It was like an older guy with glasses and a beard. Zach was there, and then...
Oh, that was Sam.
Sam?
Yeah, that was Sam.
So many.
Well, yeah, that's another Sam, actually. But yeah, that's Zach's boy, Sam. Sam's a cool guy.
Seemed like
older.
It.
He's not that old, is he?
He looked older than everybody else we were with.
Wait, yeah, he's 42.
Well, yeah, so he is older.
I know, but
you're 31.
Can't be throwing that out just willy-nilly.
You're 31. Well, yeah, I can. It's not a bad thing. He didn't look like... When I say he looks older, I'm saying relatively. I'm not saying he looks like he's fucking Ian McKellen.
You wait till we see him next and I tell him what you said.
You can tell him. Send him a link to this podcast. Tell him to like, subscribe, and rate it, dude. He'll love it. He'll love it.
Yeah.
So you're 31.
Yes, sir.
He's 42. How old is Zach?
33.
Really? Yeah. Thought he was younger. Very accomplished.
Yeah.
Very accomplished. Real estate man.
Real estate man. Yeah.
Zach the realtor.
Not going so well from right now.
Yeah. Why's that?
A bit tough right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got the East Ridge paradise over there, so you're set for life.
We were lucky to get that. Very fortunate to get that. Yeah.
It's a nice place, man. It's a nice place.
Nice place.
It's a nice place.
I'm trying to move closer to town, but...
Yeah?
With how expensive it is, I can't afford it yet.
It is a little pricey, man.
Yeah.
It's a little pricey. I mean, I'm sure you know with Unknown and everything that everything downtown is expensive when it comes to properties and everything. And that's like, it sucks, man, because when did you get here?
This is a good question. I was thinking about this myself the other day.
You didn't know?
I think I'm 5 years in this coming May.
See, okay. Then we've been here the exact same amount of time.
Yeah.
So you probably remember when you first got here, like my rent, I lived in the middle of downtown.
Where did you live?
Houston Street, downtown by UTC. And I paid $750 a month.
Oh, that's cheap.
And well, it was, but then I look back at like pictures of that apartment. It was 250 square feet.
Oh my goodness.
Have I ever told you the story about that apartment?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Where I was like walking home really late one night. It was like... maybe like 1 a.m., super late. Well, it wasn't that late, maybe like 11 p.m. And, you know, I was at the library doing my studies and...
Good boy.
It's really dark. There's nobody out. And I get in front of my apartment and there's just this group of people standing out there, just like looking up at the apartment, like creepy. I'm like, what the hell? And I hear like a microphone, like someone's mic turns on. And I get up close and it's a ghost tour.
Oh yeah,
and I'm like, what's this? And I walk up to them, like about to put in my key and to enter the building, the keypad, and the tour guide looks up, like examines the building, and she's like, "This is one of the most haunted buildings in Chattanooga." And I'm over there just putting in my key card, looking at all these people over there, just being like,
"Damn,
I don't know about that." Yeah,
your unit as well, probably.
Apparently, it used to be an old hospital. In like Civil War era. Well, not Civil War, like World War One era America.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel... So I've had one... I don't really believe in that kind of stuff, but I've had one experience before where I thought this place is haunted. Do you believe in that kind of stuff?
To an extent. I'm more of an alien guy than a ghost guy. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But I buy into the ghosts a bit.
Have you been in a place that you think, wow, this is definitely... There's something that's setting me on edge here.
Oh, totally. Yeah. All the time.
Where?
The basement at Unknown.
It's
a little...
It's not cool. Well,
I don't think that's haunted, but it just... In another setting...
You don't want to be there alone in the dark.
No. But also, there's this... I'm not going to name the business here because I don't want people to think I'm saying anything bad about it. There's a specific bar and restaurant in Chattanooga that creeps me out. Not because it's bad, just because that building is definitely haunted.
Interesting.
I'll tell you when we're done recording.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, I've had one experience ever. My granddad is really into military stuff, like a lot of old men. He loves the World Wars and stuff.
Yeah.
So when he was 60, me, him, and my old man, we went to Belgium, to Ypres, where a lot of fighting happened. And I can't remember the exact town, but in Belgium, but there was a hospital, there's a church, and the big Gothic style churches as well. You don't have any in America, but in Europe there's a lot, and I don't really, and they all set me a bit on edge, but this one was palpable. It was so cold, it was so dark, and I felt weird. So I left. They were still in the tour. I just went and stayed outside, because then I was 14 at the time. And then the bloke come out, so he didn't tell us about this church before we went in. And then when we came out, he was like, that's where Hitler was treated by the Allied forces in World War One. So he was actually saved by us, yeah, in World War One. He was saved, life saved. And obviously we know what happened after that.
Wow.
But I didn't know that going into that church. It was one of those things, I just didn't feel right. And then he told us after the fact, and it was like, it just kind of clicked, made sense.
That's crazy,
the only experience,
dude,
I've really had with like haunted or ghosts or some kind of evil or dark energy.
Really? Any UFOs?
No, I'm not big into that, but I won't write it off though.
Yeah?
But I'm not big into that kind of.
I've had a UFO encounter before.
No.
I wasn't abducted or anything. I definitely just saw a UFO.
Where then?
It was out here. It was in Chattanooga. It was downtown, man. It was late again. I'm having my late night experiences, and there was this green light that was just flying
over. How many beers did you had at this point?
Zero. I was like 18. I just moved here. I couldn't legally drink at the time, but I was walking around, and there was this green light just kept zooming by over and over and over again, and it was really weird.
Drone.
Yeah, maybe. But this is at the time when drones were like not as popular as they are now. Like now, man, you go anywhere, and it's like, I did that shoot in Florida, and this dude, like, we have a drone that we shoot stuff with, and if I didn't know what that was, I definitely would have thought that was a UFO.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine like those like indigenous tribes and shit, when people are like trying to study them and they send in drones. Like, what do they think that is?
Yeah.
That animal? The alien?
That's a morality question, is it? Should we even be doing that? You shouldn't really be doing that, should you? You should be leaving those people alone, but
yeah. I don't know, man.
I'm open to the extraterrestrial, but I mean, the
ghosts.
The chances are, there's something out there, but I don't know. I'm a big believe it when I see it kind of.
You got to see you have to physically see it. Big evidence guy.
Yes, I suppose. Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah. Big evidence guy.
Big time evidence guy, it's man. Look, we got off track here, but I want to tie this somehow back with extraterrestrial and haunted activity with this devastating news you dropped on me that we talked about earlier, that you're a Vols guy.
Yeah.
I cannot. It's so upsetting to me.
What's wrong with that?
Because you're like the antithesis of a Vols fan. What you just said, you're an evidence guy.
Oh.
Vols fans are not evidence people.
Going in deep. Well, I know a couple of Vols guys, and I like them.
Yeah? Yeah? I know a lot of Vols guys I like, too. I know more that I don't, but it's true.
Seems like you've got some kind of vendetta against it. Well, it's a big rival, isn't it?
This is Georgia and Tennessee? I mean, it's decently big.
I mean, surely being neighboring states, they've got to be a big rival. I mean, that's how it works in English soccer. If you're the neighboring city or neighboring town, your rivals, Liverpool, Manchester.
Tennessee and Kentucky is the bigger one, but obviously we saw what happened with that. So that one kind of faded away. Tennessee, Alabama is pretty big. And Tennessee, Georgia is pretty big. But Tennessee and Kentucky is like the big one I think of.
I think in the SEC, they're all pretty big games, aren't they? Because they're all in
the only one who doesn't really have anyone's like South Carolina. You don't ever go in South Carolina and you're like, oh, big rivalry matchup.
Are they a big school, South Carolina, in football terms?
I mean, they're getting better. Like, their coach is a dude, Shane Beamer. He's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Why?
He just says he's one of those guys who just is like a good interview. He's like that dude in Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin. You know about him? He used to be the coach of Tennessee.
Right.
He's like one of those. He'll just say like weird
entertaining
shit.
Entertaining stuff. Yeah. So preface this with I'm a big Vols guy now. Preface this with, I have no idea what the rules are. None. No whatsoever. But here's the thing. When I watch it, I like to watch it because when I see a great play, I recognize it. Yeah, I'm like, that was awesome. Either a great catch or touchdown, a great run, whatever, great tackle. It's easy to recognize it. That's a good thing. When it gets to like, oh, that's a flag there, I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Wow. So you're not, I mean, that is different than other Tennessee fans.
Why?
Because Tennessee fans, all right, look, I a lot of people listen to this podcast who are Tennessee fans. So when I say what I'm about to say, it's not all of you.
You're going to upset some people here.
Yeah, it's a big group of them. Oof. They don't know what the fuck a penalty is if it hit them in the goddamn head. It is so annoying. Dude, it's hard because you're a Vols fan. I grew up. Here's why I don't like the Tennessee Volunteers. This is the first time I've ever said this.
Oh, this is an exclusive.
This is why I don't
right
like
here.
Them. It is. Watch a podcast, James Healy exclusive. The reason, and this is a lot of people that are from West Tennessee, hate the Tennessee Volunteers. Absolutely fucking hate them. Mm. They do not like them. Because your big school in West Tennessee is the University of Memphis. Right. And University of Memphis beat the Tennessee Volunteers in one of their best years ever when Peyton Manning was still there. It was like 1997, 98. Maybe it was 97. I think this happened. Peyton Manning was still there, and I wasn't alive. I mean, I was technically alive, but I was
you're
in the
breathing.
Womb when this game happened, and my mom was there.
You felt it.
So
then.
I felt it. Yeah. The earth began to rumble.
Wow.
But it's just a thing over there. It's just the Vols are not as popular. And then I moved over to East Tennessee, and they're super popular. And when I moved over here, this is also how I became a Bulldogs fan, is I didn't want to, because obviously I like the University of Memphis, but they're not like a SEC title contending team.
Mm-hmm. Like the Mocs?
No, they're a little better than the Mocs. Oh. They're way better than the Mocs.
Way better?
They're way better. Well, I've never in basketball, them. They're way better than
basketball.
Even.
Well, I guess they're a feeder school for Grizzlies, are they?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really work like that, but no. It's not like that. A lot of NBA talent comes out of Memphis, but really nobody from Memphis, the University of Memphis, has ever gone to the Grizzlies. Or nobody, like, reputable. Yeah. You know, it's not like Ja Morant went to Memphis. But he did go to...
That's cool.
He's good, man.
I like that guy.
He's good. But when I moved here, it was like, I don't want to be a Vols fan. I don't want to be a North Carolina fan. I don't want to be a Clemson fan. I don't want to be an Alabama fan. And Georgia was, like, not very good at the time. I was like, I'm going to get on the ground floor here.
So how long ago was this?
2015.
Not even long. So you've not even been... You've not even been a Dogs fan long.
7 years.
Well, I mean,
7 years. They were shit when I started watching them.
The way you're banging on about it, you've been since the womb.
I might as well
Bulldogs
have been,
fan.
Man. You and the Vols. You're already 7 months. Seven weeks, actually.
Technically, I've been a Vols fan since I've been here. I've just paid
no
attention. But look, this is the most heated I've seen you. I've seen you about sports. This is good. I think this is the most passionate I see. Fans in the same sense as a football in the UK.
Oh, definitely.
Obviously, football in the UK, we give the opposition fans a lot of grief. There's a lot of chants, derogatory, some swear words, believe it or not.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I feel like this with... So when I speak to my mates and you, I think college football is as the most similar in terms of how heated the fan bases get against the fan base. Normally, it's in American sports, an appreciation of what's on the court or whatever. I know there's some rivalries, but this seems a little deeper.
Yeah, but it's mainly like a Southern thing.
Yeah.
And then the West Coast takes it pretty seriously too. The West Coast and the South takes college football much more seriously than the rest of the world does. Yeah. The West of America does. You go up to like the Northeast, it's basketball. That's the big thing.
See,
basketball,
I like
NFL.
Basketball. Yeah, I like basketball. I think that's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, American sport, yeah.
What basketball team do you like?
I haven't picked one yet.
You haven't picked one yet? Well, let me help you.
Oh, well,
you should either be a Memphis Grizzlies fan or a Boston Celtics fan.
I don't want to be
Celtics.
You
know, the Celtics will be a Grizzlies fan. Grizzlies, if you want to be on the ground floor of something incredible, you're already there.
This is good.
And it's only 5 hours away.
We should go, actually. I want to go to a game this year. I've been to one NBA game, which was... I went to OKC, actually.
Oh, God.
It was versus the Phoenix Suns, and it was when Kevin Durant was playing.
Oh, okay, so it was a good game.
And Westbrook were playing together.
Okay.
Durant dropped 35 points. It looked easy, to be honest with you, when they were playing. And it was a good time. I thought it was a great production. I thought it was a great event. But I've not been to one since, and that was probably, what? Is that 8 years ago now?
Oh, almost 10.
Yeah.
That would have been, no. Well, maybe, no, it could have been 10 years ago.
I don't think it was 10. I think 8.
Do you know who was on the Suns? Who was the biggest player on the Suns, if you remember?
No idea.
So this was probably like 2015.
It
could have been 2014.
They had, OKC had this bloke, I think he's a power forward.
Is he Australian?
No, he was there. Okay. He was there, but he was young. So, Steve, are you talking about Harper?
Stephen Adams.
Stephen Adams? So, yeah, Harper.
Stephen Harper.
Yeah,
who is that? Cut
that part off. Stephen Adams. He was young, though. He was young, but he was still massive. But that he...
My belief is 2013.
Yeah, they were good. But I have not. But we want to go this year. I want to go. I'd like to see the Grizzlies because I think John Morant's cool.
We're trying to go do a game in December. I'll let you know. Which one we're going. We have to go to Memphis for like a concert, and I haven't been to a Grizzlies game since they've become good again. So my whole life, the Grizzlies have been pretty terrible.
Good. I like the logo as well.
The bear?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of weird that Memphis has the bear logo. There's no bears in Memphis. I'll tell you that right now.
There's not any Jaguars in Jacksonville either. So.
Well, there's big cats.
I feel like you guys make this stuff up, don't you?
What do you mean? What's another one though?
The mascots and stuff.
Who's another mascot we make up? The college football
Detroit
doesn't count.
Lions.
Well, okay. There's the Detroit
Tigers. You guys
just
pick a ferocious animal.
The Rams of Darby County. Are there Rams out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't
everywhere.
Know that.
Big difference actually. When you get to England, there's loads of sheep everywhere, and it took me a while to notice. There's no sheep over here.
Like goats.
A lot of cows, but no sheep.
Sheep.
Only thing about voles that I don't like.
Oh God, here we go.
Rubbish name.
Volunteers.
Yeah, rubbish.
Yeah.
Do
you like Smokey the dog? Do you like Smokey or the UGA dog?
I'm indifferent to that dog, to be honest with you. Have you seen Ted Lasso?
Yes.
When he hits that dog with
Danny Rojas.
Every time I see Smokey, I keep thinking he's going to get hit with a ball soon, and he's gonna be gone.
That's the funniest scene in that. When he's in slow motion, you see the
football is life.
Come on, look at him. Don't you want to? You love bulldogs.
Yeah, so he's way cooler. What's that? Just a T? It's not very.
It's a G, but it's like the green bay.
No, yours. But the Vols is just a power T. It's not very good, is it?
Well, I mean, there's Smokey.
Well, it's not lions or jaguars, grizzlies.
Or bulldog.
Bulldog. That's all good stuff. And we got.
Come on, man. Vols. You know you want to be a bulldogs guy. It's not too late. I have an extra hoodie you can
wear. I've made the commitment.
I have a quarter zip. You can take it home with you. A quarter zip.
It's enticing.
From Champion Brand.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. The real deal.
Top level. Top level athletic wear.
Look, I know you're recent into your Vols fandom here, but I do want to have a discussion with you about this game because this is going to be, in my opinion, the best college football game of the past 5 years.
Interesting.
I think there's... In a lot of ways, Tennessee, this is a bad matchup for Tennessee, but a very good matchup at the same time for Tennessee. And in a lot of other ways, it's the same thing. For Georgia, this is a really good matchup. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of ways, it's really bad. So let me throw a couple stats your way.
I'm ready.
Georgia, so this game is in Athens. You ever been there?
No.
It's a dope stadium. It's not as cool as the Tennessee one,
I will say. How far away is that?
A little over... give or take like an hour. I mean, 3 hours. Like maybe like 30 minutes, depending on traffic, more or less. They've only lost one game at home since 2017.
Whoa.
But get really good load of this.
Yeah.
Tennessee's offense averages 35 points a game. Kirby Smart, the coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, is 1-11. Against teams that average over 30 points.
Oh.
So it's a little interesting.
Yeah. I tell you what, everyone's been telling me this, that like if Vols are going to win, they need to be near perfect because Georgia are so strong defensively, offensively, whatever. That game against Alabama, obviously, it was a one-off, but that was the best college game I've ever seen.
I think me too. I think that was my favorite one ever.
So entertaining. Even though that kicker... fluffed his kick, let's be honest. He was fortunate, wasn't he? He was the hero, but he could have easily been the zero in that case. It wasn't very good, was it? But everyone's telling me they got to be perfect. But look, that's why it's beautiful, isn't it? It's the underdog story. And if they've got to go out there and do these things perfectly, it's shaping up. I can see you're a bit nervous. You're a bit bullish earlier in the week, but I can see the nerves are setting in now.
Well, yeah, man. This is whatever team loses this game. This is the big thing. This is kind of the double-edged sword that Tennessee beat Alabama. Is now Alabama took their one loss earlier in the season. They took it 2 weeks ago, which, you know, it's not great for the playoff rankings to have that loss, especially if you're an SEC school. But it's better to have it early on than if you take it now.
Yeah.
So if Tennessee or Georgia loses this game, especially if Tennessee loses this game, or excuse me, if Georgia loses this game, they're kind of out on the college football playoff because they're not going to let the one-loss Georgia team against Tennessee come in when there's an Alabama team who's technically had a slightly stronger schedule in the SEC championship game come in. And it's this is where college football gets so complicated to me, is all these bowls and shit like that. It sort of loses me there.
So how do they... Is there not like a draw with numbers? Like if you watch the FA Cup, for instance, or even Champions League in soccer, you have...
It's not like that.
So it's just some guys decide. Like there's a board of people who decide
it's
these matches.
Like a couple, it's like a, someone at ESPN decides. It's like a group at ESPN, that's, the college
that's
football.
That's mental, isn't it?
I know.
That doesn't make sense to me. What? Also, you might be able to answer this for me. I saw the Vols, mighty Vols. They moved up to number one in the rankings.
Yes.
You last week, what number were you guys?
Okay, so technically Georgia's number one, but that's from the AP rankings. So the Associated Press, that up until this week, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't make
up
any sense.
Up until this week, the AP rankings are considered the God rank. That's the official rankings.
Right.
But now it switches over to the CFP rankings, which ESPN does. And that's the college football playoff rankings. And Tennessee is number one in that, but Georgia's number three.
Doesn't make sense. Well, yeah, but what were you last week? You were...
Number one.
Right, so how can they jump you without playing you? How can we jump you to not play?
So
doesn't make any sense.
Technically, if you want to be technical about it, Tennessee should also have been number one in the other one because they have the strongest schedule that they've won against. After tomorrow, they would have played five ranked teams.
Mm.
So that would have been Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, and I don't know, Pitt, I think, was the other one that they would have done. But this is, okay, here's where people...
UT Martin.
UT Martin's not ranked, no way.
No, they played them, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't. Destroyed
them, yeah.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Here's the thing with Tennessee, man. Tennessee easily could have one loss right now. Easily could have had two losses. People forget how close that Pitt game was. Did you watch that game? It was very close.
I think that's
it was
before
an overtime
my
win.
Fandom came.
Yeah, it was week two. Week two. Look, I'm telling you, man, it's not too late. Not too late. Don't you want to have this nice book? You told me yourself. Late. No. You told me yourself that you, James Healy, wanted a bulldog as a pet.
I do want an English bulldog.
That's what this is.
Well, I can't rightly have a bowl, can I?
God.
I mean, what's one of the...
I've got a Smoky, whatever, a Basset Hound.
Yeah, he's noisy as well, isn't he? He makes a lot of noise.
He barks fucking
I wonder
constantly.
Where he lives during the week. Where does he live?
I think he lives on campus somewhere. He's a good dog.
I bet he's a rat pain
in
the ass.
I don't
want
to bring Smoky into this.
I bet he's a rat pain in the ass, so he's trying to do studies, just barking his ass off over there.
Well, I don't think they keep him in the fucking library.
I don't know where they keep him, do I? He's got to live somewhere, hasn't he? He doesn't shut up, does he? I think he's scared, you know, that dog.
Yeah, man. I mean, how would you feel?
And he's just barking his ass. I don't know.
The Georgia dog, he seems to have a great time.
You got a dog as well, have you?
He's the bulldog.
Proper dog.
He's the Georgia bully.
It's hilarious that you guys actually bring these animals to it.
If you want to hear the most American thing ever, like we talk about having, like you just said, like they bring out the dogs for all these games. Well, let me fucking tell you, when I was a kid, at the Memphis Tigers games, there would be, like when we were tailgating, this truck would fucking drive by. And inside of this truck was a live Bengal tiger.
Wow, that's
in the
not
back.
Good, is it?
Well, and get LSU has a whole garden that this tiger is on campus and he lives there.
No.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Surely students have got drunk and got in the cage.
Well, it's like you ever seen Jurassic Park? You know where they keep the pterodactyls?
Jurassic Park. Yes, I've seen
Jurassic Park 3 specifically.
The last one was rubbish, by the way. But
Dominion? I kind of like that one.
That last movie was dreadful.
I liked it.
It's got something on Rotten Tomatoes like 30%, and it deserves that rating.
I don't know about that, but it's like a dome. They keep him in a dome, so it's like only his handlers can get in there. Because obviously, look.
Right, that's pretty cool, but not great.
LSU is one of the biggest party schools in America. Have you ever been down there to Baton Rouge for a game or anything?
I've only been to
New Orleans,
Louisiana. I've been to New Orleans twice.
So, I mean, you've been to New Orleans. You know what it's like there. Yeah, essentially, Baton Rouge is like a smaller New Orleans.
It's actually my favorite city in the U.S.
New Orleans?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of the only cities. It's got all these buildings. It's got the architecture. It's got the fun. It's got
the history.
You
ever been to Savannah?
Yeah, somewhere. I like Savannah. But
Charleston?
I prefer Charleston, actually, over Savannah. But
I thought you were going to be a New York guy.
I love New York. If you're talking, well, it depends what you want the city for. But if you're talking bars, food, New York's the place, isn't it? But
yeah.
If you're thinking like culture, old buildings and stuff, it's hard to find here, New Orleans is awesome.
Well, if you want to find the hauntedest building in Chattanooga, I'll tell you exactly where it goes. What was that? I don't even remember what my address was. 611 Houston Street. That was it. I don't live there anymore, so don't.
That ghost tour lady actually comes by the alley behind her. Unknown.
Well, you remember when we were at, we were like out in the alleyway at Unknown.
Yeah.
And the ghost tour came out.
Oh, they come out the top. You should try and get these lot to sponsor you. You're talking about so much, eh?
I don't think
so. Is that a plan here? Trying to get the ghost tour sponsorship.
I mean, if they want to, I'm not going to say no.
Hey, shout out ghost tour. Ghost tour
society or whatever. They go to everywhere. You
see
quite
busy as well, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people want to do that.
People sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of people are interested in the ghosts, man.
I wonder. Yeah, I'd like to. We should go on one.
We should go on one.
Yeah, we should definitely go on one. I'm curious as to what they say, especially when they come back in the alley. I don't know. It might have something that I need to know about.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. What have you ever overheard, like, what building they're talking about specifically when they're like, are they looking at Shangri-La and being like, yeah, this is it?
No, I don't think I've ever tried to listen in before.
I don't know, man. I see them out by like the Edwin Hotel. Like they're looking at like parking lots and they're like, well, there used to be this building. It's a lot of there used to be this was here.
Well, yeah, of course.
So what does that mean? Does the parking lot get haunted?
Ghosts are rarer these days.
Rare. What do you mean? Have you ever seen the show Ghost Tour? Ghost Adventures?
No.
Oh my God. Have you never seen this?
No.
It's these guys, they'll go to like haunted locations and they're just like yelling the whole fucking time. They're mean to these goddamn ghosts. They're like, they put their little EM electromagnetic things out there and they're like
Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Hunters. It's the same thing. But Ghost Adventures is the Travel Channel's version of that. That was Sci-Fi Channel.
Wow.
That was like Grant and this dude. They were like the plumbers by day and then fucking ghost hunters at night. But these dudes on Ghost Adventures, they'll go to like ancient castles in Germany and England and Scotland and they'll set up in there and they're all wearing fucking leather jackets.
Yeah,
and they're going like that and they got their sunglasses and backwards hats and shit on and they'll set out like their devices to like catch, like listen to the ghosts and like, you know, like ghost hunters, the one you just talked about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're super fucking nice to these ghosts. They're like, all right, I mean, look, I'm not here to hurt you. I want you to reach out. I want you to reach out to me. And then you'll hear like Ghost Adventures.
My God. Well, I mean, you're locked in a dark house and you're hearing these. That's just a bloke on set.
But Ghost Adventures, they have this device where it like goes through AM radio frequencies like over and over again. So it's like, there you go, Japanese logger, heard that. But it's like, have you ever seen one of those things? It's like going through radio signals and it's like
never seen that.
Well, they'll play this out, and apparently the way it works is ghosts can communicate through the frequencies, and it's like how Bumblebee talked in the Transformers movie, where it, like, he picks out, you know, and it's like he says words that he hears on the radio signals, and it's like, hello, and you know, but what they'll do is they'll put this thing out, and they'll be fucking mean to these ghosts, dude. They're like, say you're here, bitch. Like, they'll be like, you're not here. You're not a ghost. You're dead. And it's so rude to these fucking ghosts, dude. If I was
that
a ghost.
Is strange. So they're trying to prove that ghosts are real, but they're also like naysaying the ghost as well.
They're just trying to like, and so ghost hunters, they don't want to communicate with them. Ghost Adventures wants to unequivocally prove the existence of ghosts by like being hurt by the ghosts. Like they want the ghosts to like possess them. So they're being a dickhead to these ghosts.
That sounds probably the most American thing I've ever
heard. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, dude. Yeah.
Blokes in leather jackets with their hat backwards.
And they wear sunglasses too, but it's at night. It's like the fucking flock of eagles. No, is that flock eagles thing? No, that's Iran. Flock eagles.
I can get behind the glasses at night. That's funny.
I bet they're Vols fans, man.
Get out of here. Get out of here. You're going to upset a lot of your listeners with this kind of talk, you know.
What do you mean?
No, not good
for
business.
They know.
What, they know what?
They know that I don't like the Vols.
The Vols are the best, yeah.
There's people who have made whole careers off of being hated. I'm not saying I want to do that at all. But a lot of people in sports media, that's what they do.
Facts, yeah. I've got to know a few of them now, and I don't like a lot of them. Well, I don't.
Who else do you know? don't mention names, but do you actually know other people?
No, as in, I don't know them. I watch them on the TV. Oh. So I've started to get into like who they are and stuff.
I thought you were in like a text thread with like Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith.
I hate that. Wow. I don't hate him. He's just genius at what he does. He just says the most nonsense stuff and then people latch onto it. The Stephen A. Smith and Jim, what's his name? Stephen Bayless, what's his name?
Skip Bayless. Yeah, he's the dude who's on in like the mornings. He's a nutbag. Shannon as well. Sharp.
Jim Nance, don't.
You don't like Jim Nance?
I don't like that toupee neither.
Oh my God. Damn, man.
That was brutal. I'm sorry. Listen.
Under the fucking belt. Wow, going something. After the
he
hair?
Does the golf as well. And I'm not sure that I like him at the golf.
Do you watch golf on TV?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Can you describe to me the appeal of that?
Yes.
Please.
You're sat there on a Sunday afternoon. Yep.
Not watching football.
Mostly, you've got nothing to do. And you crack open a nice cold lager or a glass of wine or something. A couple of nibbles, potentially, on the side. And you're going to watch, shot by shot, these brilliant players do what you cannot do, but only wish you could do.
So it's like envy.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of that. But it's also, it's an appreciation for the talent of what they're going through. Also, there's a huge psychology as well. So this golf tournaments are 4 days. I don't know if you know this, right?
Yeah,
so
I mean, I know roughly how it works.
Thursday, Friday, cut on Friday. So you cut half the field. They don't get to play the weekend. So the weekend are your people in contention, really. And of those people, you've got, 25% in real contention. The rest of them are just there.
It's like NASCAR.
So they're going to focus on Sunday, what's best on Sunday, is they're going to focus on who potentially could win it. And there's the movers and shakers, right? And you see a guy drop a couple of shots, and you see a guy make a couple of shots, and all of a sudden there's some drama. It's an awesome watch. It takes a little while, but it's just very relaxing.
Yeah,
and
I get
scenery
that.
And the scenery is beautiful as well. It's like you're going on a little walk from the couch.
It's like watching cycling.
Well, I like cycling.
Yeah, you watch it though? You're watching the Tour de France?
I used to really love Lance Armstrong when I was about 12 to 15, I started cycling.
That's tough. Did you have a Livestrong bracelet?
I couldn't get one.
You couldn't get one?
Wow, they were
poor. Were you still in England at that time?
Remember the days you couldn't get those there?
In America, those things were everywhere, bro.
Yeah,
well,
initially, but then when they became popular, you couldn't get them because they sold out all the time.
Wow, man, they were everywhere here. They were giving them out at my school when I was in elementary school.
That was good. I was selling them to my classmates. I would buy some in bulk on eBay, and I would sell a couple to my classmates. I was charging about £5 per band.
Wow.
How are you getting them free?
They would literally come. They would drop them off in bags.
You were living stronger than we were.
I know, man. Farmington Elementary School.
Damn.
We were fucking living high life. We didn't even know it.
Cycling's good, though. Well, I say I watch cycling. You watch the big tours, right? Tour de France, Tour de France.
I don't, but
well, if you watch those, they're awesome. I mean, those shows of mental strength and just how far the body will go, it's absolutely awesome, right? These blokes do nothing else than cycle all day. Every day, and go 100 miles up and down a Category 5 mountain. It's
a Category 5.
It's crazy. They have categories of mountains now. How steep they are, right?
Is that the highest? Is like a hurricane?
Five is high. Mm. You got to respect what they do. You've got to respect what they do. I think it's. And again, some cyclists are good at sprinting. Some cyclists are climbers, so great at mountain stages.
Wow.
And some are overall. So Lance was overall, right? He could do everything.
Jack of all trades.
And it's also more of a team sport than people think, which is...
Really?
Yeah. So you have domestiques. Let's say I'm Lance and you're my domestique. You do all the hard yards for me and I just glide in behind you so I don't get the wind resistance. And then, so you do this for me the whole stage until you're basically gassed. And then you drop off and finish like last. And that's your job. And then I get to save my energy and then go for the win in the stage.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
There's I didn't
lot
know
to
that
it.
At all.
There's a lot to it.
Is it like how... It's like in NASCAR, how there's teammates.
I don't know NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really either.
Are you a Formula One guy these days?
No, I've never been.
Big. It's had a huge surge in popularity.
It really has been, man. Yeah. I hear about it all the time, but it hasn't come around to me yet. But...
I'm not a big F1 guy, but... I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think with sports like that, it's like I watch all of the major sports. Recently, I've gotten into Premier League. This year's a little tough for me.
Yeah, well, you've chosen the wrong team, haven't you?
No, I'm not going to change it now.
Well, I won't change the Vols either. So,
well, look, maybe if you change over to the Bulldogs, I'll drop down to Derby County.
I don't. No, you don't want to do that. I wouldn't make you do that.
What Premier League team do you like? Swear to God. If you're a Vols fan, you're probably about to say Man City.
Well, I'm not. No, so it's different. So it's different in England. So I can't. I literally can't support another team. Like it just doesn't happen.
Not like it's different.
It's very different. Like when I'm a Derby fan, I'm a Derby fan, and I'm a Derby fan until even if we're in League One, like we are, and we go down. But who do I like watching? I'll always tune into a Man City game. They play beautiful football. Arsenal have been amazing this year as well. Liverpool, obviously,
they're having good.
Liverpool were good, but going through a real rough patch. And I like Spurs as well. And the reason I like Spurs, if you tune into a Spurs game, they're so hit or miss, right? It's always an exciting game because games they should easily win, they lose, or they win 4-3, or it's 3-2. Or
so like the Vols.
Loads of goals. Or
they score a lot?
Well, they can't defend, so they've got to score a lot.
They're like the Vols.
Well, get out of here, mate.
What? Why it's true. Like why am I being like, what? It's honest comparison.
You just got an amazing offense.
Oh, my God. If I hear one more media person out there be like, Vols offense, just unstoppable.
Hendon Hooker, and what's the guy, Jalen Hyatt?
Yeah, that's your guy. That's your guy.
Yeah, he scored so many touchdowns, hasn't he?
Look, all I got to worry about is Stetson Bennett and Brock Bowers. Those are my guys. Brock Bowers is their tight end. He's a fucking beast.
Great name. Great alliteration.
It sounds like, did you ever play with like Rescue Hero toys? Maybe you're a little old for that.
Wow.
What?
Rescue Hero. What, Action Man?
No, not Action Man. Rescue Heroes was like sandy shores and like rusty water or like wavy waters. Like that was their name. It was like porn star names. You know, it was like Jack Hammer. That was one of them.
That's badass. No, I've never played with
them. No, they were these fucking jacked dudes and these jacked girls. And they were like paramedics and fucking firefighters and doctors and shit. And they were like this tall, but they were fucking ripped.
So you could literally make your own little porno with it if you wanted to.
You could if you wanted to, and Jack Hammer and Sandy Shores.
Jack Hammer and Sandy Shores just going at it.
Here, I got to find a picture of this Jack Hammer guy for you, man. He's fucking ripped.
One of my favorite toys, you remember Stretch Armstrong? You used to try and break him.
Oh, that thing's been around forever, man.
You used to try and break him all the time. We did one time, you know, and he had the weirdest stuff inside of him.
Wait, what's inside of it?
It's like gloop, a super weird gloop, and then it comes out of his arm if you keep pulling it as well.
Here's Jack Hammer. That's Jack Hammer right there.
Well, he's not. Would you say he's buff? He's just got his.
Well, look at him. Look at him in the cartoon, man. Look at him. He's a fucking beast of nature.
Yeah, that's a hell of a jawline.
He's like an offensive lineman.
That's
you don't. Oh, here you go. Here he goes. Look at that arm, dude.
Yeah, that's
Jack Hammer.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, that's Jack Hammer. And then there was one. It was like Gilliam. He was like a shark rescuer. Gills.
The hammerhead guy. No, this is different. I'm getting very
What is
confused.
The hammerhead guy?
Well, there's a program with the sharks in it, wasn't there? And there were all different sharks. Do you remember that?
No. There was a group of sharks in Finding Nemo. What are you talking about?
I've just looked it up. Street Sharks.
Street Sharks. Not Street familiar sharks. With that. Is it's it like awesome. The off-brand Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I don't know. I can't remember it very well, but I remember the you see the hammerhead guy?
I'm talking about fucking Jack, dude.
Yeah, and look at this badass with that rollerblade. Just rollerblade.
That one in the back looks like fucking Francis Ngannou, dude.
Yeah, I think that was the inspiration for Francis Ngannou.
Yeah. What's going on with him? You think we're ever going to see him fight again?
What do you think?
No, I honestly don't think so. I don't think we're going
to
see him again.
He's got to make his penny somehow. He is going to come back for sure. And I think that he will fight in the UFC as well because you've just seen Jake Paul's stuff just tank.
Oh, fuck.
Just tank bad. And so that's what I knew. You know, he was definitely angling for that kind of bout. You know, he wanted to go to boxing. And who was he trying to fight? Tyson Fury. That would just end so badly for him. Tyson Fury would just toy with Ngannou. He can't do that. He's not at that level, so he's got to. But he had that bad knee, didn't he? He had that really bad knee. He fought so
bad. Yeah, and he wrestled.
Yeah, he wrestled. So I think with a man of his weight, that's going to take a little while to recuperate. And you saw my boy Tom Aspinall as well blow his knee out. Remember that?
Against
Curtis Blaydes, 30 seconds in. That's going to take a year and a half minimum. Because when you're that heavy, the amount of pressure going through your knees is so much more, isn't it? If you're a featherweight, you've got 145 pounds going through you. I think you can recuperate a little faster. But you've got to make it so sure it's so solid and that the recovery work you do It's so good. So when you're at 225, and honestly, on the night heavier than that probably, it's, you got a lot of weight going through there.
How big do you think he gets on fight night?
Ngannou?
Yeah.
I don't know on fight night. I think
280?
I think he's easily walking around at 260.
260.
280, 265, 280 potentially, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he looks like a wrestler, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He looks like WWE stuff. That's an option. I mean, he could do that, couldn't he?
No way.
Why? Why?
I don't think he wants to do boxing.
He's not good enough to do boxing, unfortunately.
None of them are. Look at Anderson Silva.
Well, and that's the thing. If you think, so decisions they're going to make are going to be the most economically viable options, right? Jake Paul's fights are going down, 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 down. And this model of ex-UFC fighter fighting a boxer, is they're finding out no one cares. At first, I thought people cared because it was a novelty. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to the fourth, fifth event? No one gives a shit. No one gives a shit. So I think if you're going to talk about what you would make more, you would make more if he headlined a UFC event, I think. Uncle Dana gave him some pay-per-view points. You'd definitely make more, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Than doing a Jake Paul style thing that does what?
I don't 10, know,
10,000 buys or whatever.
Well, you got to think that a lot of that money is coming outside of the pay-per-view buys for a Jake Paul fight. The Paul brothers make a shit ton of money and through a billion other avenues, you know?
They do, but the other fight, what's the rest of Zagana going to make off it?
I don't know. That's never going to happen.
No, well, not those two. No. But if he was to fight on a card like that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so let's say he fought Tyson Fury. Would you care?
No. I just don't care about boxing. So if I'm 100% honest with you, I just don't care about it.
Damn. Yeah, well.
It's just not my thing.
I know. I understand that.
I'm more of a UFC guy, and especially now, I have a bad feeling about your favorite, Alexander Volkanovski.
You have a... Why?
Why not? What aspect of that fight between him and Islam Makhachev is going to go in his advantage?
Striking? That's the only
thing.
That's the only thing. And the only thing he's got.
That's the only thing.
Honestly, Islam, oh man, he's so good, isn't he? But so dull as hell. Not a fan favorite. He's so
you don't.
Dull.
You hate the Dagestani fighters.
I think, I've got a little problem with it because I appreciate that you believe what you believe, and I appreciate that you live your life a certain way. But when you get on the mic after you fight and preachy, I don't give a shit.
So it's not about the wrestling. It's about the posts.
It's about the post stuff and how boring it is. It's a boring champion. You know, because UFC, right? And any sport, honestly, there's an element of showmanship to it, and he has zero showmanship. So you tune in, you watch a fight, he dominates, which is. Can be boring, and then at the end of the night, it's boring as well. There's a reason Conor McGregor and Sugar Sean capture so many hearts. It's not because they're fighting skills necessarily. It's because they get on the mic and say wacky shit, and people are like, "Hell yeah" or "Hell no," and that's how you get people going. And those guys aren't capable of doing so.
Look, Sean O'Malley. I don't know.
He lost.
He definitely lost that fight. Right?
It was tight. You can only look at, I guess, this is obviously the damage where he cut Jan in the last round.
Yeah.
He damaged him bad. I don't know. I thought Jan had it, but... And he's had two now results go against him, which
two consecutive ones, too.
Two consecutive ones.
Against Aljo. I know you love Aljo. You love his coach, man.
I love his coach, yeah. The most New York bloke I've ever heard.
Aljo.
I feel like he brings like a... Bodega sandwich Aljo. To the fight with him, you know what I mean?
Look on the right, Aljo. You got him, Aljo.
Yeah, honestly. His advice is always spot on, though. And because of his accent, it's so clear as well. You can always hear what he's saying. Some of the corny's like, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, what did he just say?
Aljo, you need it. Aljo.
It sounds like...
Sounds like Mickey from...
No, the Monsters, Inc. teacher.
Wazowski.
But Aljo, yeah. Sugar Sean. But yeah, so Islam Volkanovski, right? The only thing, one thing that Volkanovski has in heaps, right? A heart. When Ortega had him in two guillotines that tight,
mm-hmm.
and he said after the fight, you know, I was trying to make myself space and hang on, and I knew that I wasn't going to go back to my family and not be the champion, whatever else he was saying. Easy to say after the fight. In the moment, I'm sure he's panicking. But that would have put away. Oliveira would have tapped. Mm-hmm. Oliveira tapped this time, and
second round, man.
And I don't even think he had a full choke on him. I think he had a crank on him again. I don't know. But Oliveira would have tapped to Ortega both of those times, 1,000%. Volkanovski won't tap that easy. Not to say he won't tap, but I think he's got that like Lionheart situation about him where you really need to put him away. You're going to knock him unconscious or you've got to submit him properly. He's not just going to, like Oliveira, he got a crank on his neck and he tapped out really quickly as well, let's be honest. And he's been criticised about that before, Oliveira, if you remember. Before he went on this run, people didn't really respect him. DP didn't respect him. He's like, he's a choker. He'll tap. And he did again. I don't know if that tarnishes his reputation because he has got a bit of a reputation for that now.
I don't think so. I wouldn't say it tarnishes it. You're right that it is something that he does. And with Volk, that's not necessarily something that he does either. But on the flip side of that, what does Volk have to do to put Makhachev away?
He's got to hit him with his hands.
Yeah.
He's got to do it on the floor. He's got to do it.
I don't know if he can.
I think he can.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think why not?
We've never seen him in that position. And look, some of the he's
knocked out once in the UFC. You watched that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he got sparked badly.
Who was it? Who knocked him out?
Some nobody.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but he did.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, well, he's obviously improved, but it means there's something there. I don't know. We don't know. He was so dominant, Makhachev. He was so dominant. He was awesome, really, wasn't he? If he does the same against Volk, yeah, he doesn't have... You don't think he would have much of a chance. But I think Volk has got... I don't know. He's got that something, doesn't he? He's got that mindset, that bulletproof mindset.
That is true. That is true. And I think that's the biggest advantage going for Volk. And I just want to see how that fight turns out. It hasn't, according to their recent Twitter interaction I'm looking at, it hasn't technically been signed yet. But they both seem game for it and to do it in Australia. So that'll be interesting, man. That'll be interesting. I know we have a good card coming up here next week. You're not going to be around for that. Unbelievable.
No.
We've watched every Izzy fight together for the past 5 times he's fought.
Yes, we have. And you let us down, didn't you, last weekend because you were off jet setting to Florida or somewhere else. So.
Sorry, that was my bad, man. But you almost missed the card entirely. If I didn't tell you, it was during the day.
Oh, no, I did. I didn't miss it. But yeah, I didn't know it was in the day.
So I tuned in. You know they're talking about making that like the headquarters of the UFC now? They're calling that the fight capital of the world.
Who's calling it that?
Dana.
No.
Yes.
When?
John Anik said it on the broadcast. He said, the fight capital of the world, Abu Dhabi. We're live here in Abu Dhabi.
No way.
Joe Rogan's on the no-fly list. He can't go over there.
Yeah, what's happening?
He said he was in London for a show. That's why he wasn't able to do it. And he was, in fact.
I don't think Joe Rogan leaves the United States, to be honest with you.
He was in London.
Yeah, so he says. We got proof?
I haven't seen it, but he's what he said he was.
I don't know either. I don't think he leaves the United States. I think he stays
here. He loves America.
He loves America.
DMT. Yeah. Elk.
Yeah, dude. He can't fly with DMT in his pockets.
No, he can't. He can't.
Hard to source.
Pretty Griner, dude.
damn. That's political right there. We got that, yeah. So what this card coming up then?
Izzy and AP. He's on this. Chandler and
What are you thinking then? What do you think on that one?
Izzy.
What does he do?
Yeah. Why would I not? That he knocked him out in kickboxing. Totally different game.
Pereira has that. No, but Pereira's got that thing about him right now that just seems
like it's his time.
Yeah, like it's his time. That left hook. Obviously, got to be on guard for that. That's the damage. He's got heavy hands, doesn't he? He's got really
heavy
hands.
He's bulky.
Again, it's an interesting one to see. Israel doesn't get hit. That's his game. AP, heavy hands. If he gets his hands on him, he could easily put him away. We'll see with Izzy, man. Izzy is due a big performance.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't. That's a fighter who, I mean, you talk about Islam. That's another one people have been criticizing a lot recently is Izzy.
I can understand it. We have. I mean, we've talked about it.
My Haley, dude, she loves Izzy. That's her favorite fighter.
Well, I don't know, it's because of his fighting skills, though.
Maybe.
He's a good-looking bloke, isn't he? He talked about it, a few fights ago. I'm not in this for glory. I'm not in this for wins or losses. I'm in this for legacy. Well, again, Conor McGregor's still got the biggest legacy, I feel like, in the UFC. And he's lost, 4 in a trot? People don't care.
Mm-hmm.
People care that you come on and put a show. And we're just not seeing the show from him yet. He's been staying out of danger, which is so smart. And he's so good, look. The fighters he's fighting, like Whittaker, Vettori, incredible. To stay out of harm with those guys is no mean feat. But is it a fan favourite fight? No, it's not, is it? You look at every fan favourite fight ever, it's like... It's, It's a slugfest. So you don't necessarily want to get into that. It's either a slugfest or a really, really great performance.
Mm-hmm. Then we have two guys on this card who are very much capable of that. I think this is going to be easy contender for Fight of the Night. That's Mike Chandler and Dustin Poirier.
100% and Bad Blood.
Yeah.
And they don't like each other.
It's gonna Why? Be,
don't what know. Happened? I think, well, egos, isn't it? I think one of them, remember, what event was it? I think it was three events back when they were both in the arena and they got into that little scuffle next to the
concert. That was right after I was at Mike's house. That was right after. That was when I got back from that.
Yeah, and they didn't like, they said, and there was afters after on Twitter as well, calling each other out and saying, you know, I think that's going to be a stand there and bang. Look, you talk, and again, we're talking about what fans like and reputation and legacy. Michael Chandler has been in, what, four fights now in the UFC? This is going to be a fifth?
Hooker, Oliveira, Gaethje.
DP.
And yeah, now it's this.
Yeah.
This will be his fourth.
Fourth. Already.
2-1.
Already.
No, for Tony Ferguson, obviously.
Yeah, Ferguson as well.
Yeah.
So fifth fight. Four banging fights, and people love him. People love him. And talking, I mean, so depends what you want. Israel, does he want to win? Does he want to be a fan favorite? It's up to him. Obviously, you want to win. But Chandler's going to go out there and, you know, stand there and bang.
You know, this is the thing that I think is very clear about Mike Chandler is he's a guy who is extremely concerned. I wouldn't even say concern's a bad word. He's very aware of the word legacy. That is what's on his mind now. He has two kids. He's adopted two kids, so that's very important to him, that stability in his life. He says his goal is to still be the UFC lightweight champion.
Okay, John Anik. And he's currently in a custody battle.
Both of these fighters dealing with custody battles for their two children. No, yeah. Michael Chandler, I mean, I'm biased.
Yeah.
I've been to his house. I've met his family. They're incredibly nice.
Great mates, aren't you? Great mates.
No, I wouldn't say that.
We play golf together on a weekend.
I told you what he said to me. Yeah, I told you this, what he said to me, right?
Yeah, you did.
Looked at me dead in the eyes, said, look like a White Claw guy, more of a Truly guy myself. And I was like, wow, what a fucking quote.
I wonder what that was, mate.
I don't know.
Thinly veiled insult, I think.
I don't think so. He was super nice.
He's calling me a soy boy deep down.
A soy boy. I think Truly guys are more of the soy boys than White Claw. White Claw guys, we know what we want. Truly boys, little dance around.
Look down here, though, on the rest of the card real fast.
What else we have?
You got Frankie Edgar. You got Dan Hooker. Look at those records. You got Frankie Edgar, 23-10-1.
Dan Hooker, man.
Dan Hooker, you got 21-12-0. These two blokes, I think particularly Frankie Edgar, I don't know if this is his last fight, but I don't think he should be fighting much longer than this. You're getting up to the point where your losses are as many as your wins. That's tough for a legend like Frankie Edgar. And you've got the same for Dan Hooker. He needs a win badly. He's been fighting killers for the last 10 fights he's fought, but 21-12 is not a good look.
No. No, man. He has been around, man, with his fights. And I don't know. I feel like, isn't there another title fight on this card? Carlos Barza, I think that's going to be one-sided.
Do we care? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, what's your thoughts?
I think Zhang all the way, man. Yeah, Asparza, that was one of the worst UFC fights I've ever seen.
It was the worst. It was a co-main as well.
Yeah.
It was the worst co-main I've ever seen. Carlos Barza, I don't think gets this done.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But we are running out of time here, but I got one more big thing to ask you. One more. We got to go back to the Vols in Tennessee. Because that's the big thing people want to know about, and you're a unique Vols fan, you know?
Yep.
It's not every day that somebody just picks the Vols out of nowhere, seemingly.
Every day these days.
Oh, my God, I'm so fucking
kids,
already tired
of this.
Kids
in the streets.
Score prediction, man. What do you think's happening?
Oh, man.
Vols, Georgia. Come on, you're the Vols guy. This is your big game.
Oh.
You have nothing to lose, though, as a Vols fan. Your season's already an overheel success.
What do, I've got us go with Vols, didn't I? Yeah.
You don't have to.
I think I do.
I mean,
I think
you
I
don't
do.
Have to. Am I going to pick the Bulldogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, so I've got to go Vols. Vols by 7.
34-30. I'm taking Bulldogs. 34-30. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game than people think it's going to be.
I think in the 30s, for sure. I don't think you're going to get the same 52-49?
Yeah, no, for the 52, yeah, 52-49, that was it for Alabama.
I don't even get that again. I do think in the 30s, I think we'll see some entertaining scores, but yeah, defense is going to be a bigger thing.
I'm going in the hostile territory tomorrow, watching this game with you.
Yeah, Mike's.
Yeah, I'm wearing my...
Mike's holding the wall. Should do a meet and greet for the podcast.
I don't think people are going to be very happy with me at Mike's with my anti...
Are you going to wear your gear?
Fuck yeah, I am. Damn, you want me to bring some orange sweatpants for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been looking in some new Nike Dunks, yellow, black, and white.
Yellow, black, and white.
Oh, sorry, orange, black, and white. My
please friend. Don't do that, man. You'll never see me again.
Too. I'm going to the game next week as well.
Yeah, well, you got to go to one at Neyland. Neyland's a super nice stadium. Beautiful stadium right on the
second
river.
Second biggest in the U.S., isn't it?
I don't know about that. Maybe in the SEC. I don't know about the U.S.
I thought it was.
Maybe. I don't know.
100,000 people. Wembley's only got 90,000.
Really? Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest one over there, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, Old Trafford's not far behind it, but yeah, it's a national stadium. Mm. So, yeah. And the Maracanã's got 107 in Brazil, and that's the biggest.
I know SoFi Stadium's pretty damn big. That's out in Los Angeles. Haley and I are talking about seeing Taylor Swift there. What? What are you laughing about? You would see Taylor Swift if you had the chance.
Would I?
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
How much are you paying for tickets?
Taylor Swift's pretty low. We don't know how much they're going to be yet, but yeah, she doesn't really charge
Tiger Stadium,
a lot.
Baton Rouge, we were talking about these guys earlier, 102,321. And
yeah,
Neyland, 101,915. That's enormous.
What is Beaver Stadium?
Who's Beaver?
You've been there a couple times, huh?
Wow.
Oh. That's in Penn State is Beaver Stadium.
All right, get this. Biggest stadium in the world, Gujarat, India, 132,000.
Is that a cricket stadium?
Narendra Modi Stadium. It must be fairly new, isn't it?
Jesus.
Good God. Beaver is 106,000. And then Michigan Stadium is 107,601. So I don't know why.
Yeah, Michigan's number one here.
You know who's got a big one as well? Pyongyang. 114.
Pyongyang? Like North fucking Korea?
Crushed in to listen to some propaganda.
Do they have like sports in North Korea? Is there like a...
Yeah. You're talking about golf?
NKFL or something?
You're talking about golf? Not this Kim Jong, but the last one.
Kim Jong Il?
Yeah, he played golf one time. He got, I think it was something like 5 hole-in-ones. This is no joke. Let me... He scored
a couple eagles.
I think it was 56 on a 72 par course.
Wow.
Yeah, a few eagles. I think he didn't use his putter once. Didn't need one.
Fuck, man.
Just used his driver.
Get him on the PGA Tour.
Unbelievable. To say, you know, he must be sending so many hours as a politician and he just goes in the golf course and does that. And he's so very talented.
Yeah, imagine playing fucking golf with Kim Jong Il, man. Invite him out to Maki Ben, see how
interview.
He wants to do.
The interview, best comedy film
ever. Oh, God. We'll talk about the interview in the next podcast. But, James, man, that's all the time we have for this podcast. Thank you for coming on. 50 episodes later, you're back. Can't go that far about a break again.
Yeah, balls.
Check out Unknown Caller. Check out James. Check out everything he's got going on. He's a busy guy, man. He's a Vols fan. Go, Dogs! We're going to see you here on Wednesday for the next episode of the Watch It Podcast.